We're doing Gemara Makos, we're up to Beis and Beis, the two dots at the top of the page. We had said in the Mishnah, Medinanu v'ishploni shuchayav galut, if they testify about someone that he is chayav to be in galut, whereas our Mishnah said liglot, the quote over here is galut. Minani mili. So the Gemara asks, where do you get this from that you will not send Edom Zomimim out into exile? Why not? Amar Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish says we derive it from a verse. He, the murderer, the one who killed by mistake, will flee to one of these cities and live. We say that word who is superfluous. It is there to teach us something. Who, to the exclusion of the mi'ut, he specifically flees to a city of refuge. Velo zomimin, and Edom zomimin do not. Rabbi Yochanan, who was Rish Lakish's Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan omer, kal vachomer. A little bit strange that Rabbi Yochanan's quoted after his disciple. We have over here a fortiori. If a person murders on purpose, so he doesn't go into exile. Sometimes you have only one witness. Sometimes you have two witnesses, but they didn't get a chance to warn him. So he's not going into exile, because exile was there only for someone who did it by mistake. So if someone who did an action on purpose does not go into exile, him, these false witnesses, shelo asu maase, they didn't do an action b'mezid, einodin shelo yiglu. Certainly, they shouldn't go into galus. They, if someone does an action b'mezid, they don't go to galus. Certainly, they who did b'mezid, but what they did is considered a non-action. So this is a big sugiya throughout Shas. When do we consider speech an action, and when not? Meaning, if someone's going to call an animal, he can acquire the animal because the animal moved because he called it. So there you say his speech is considered an action. If a person has an animal that's carrying something on his back, he may not tell that animal on Shabbos, go, go. And then the animal goes, and that's the prohibition of Mechamer. He's not allowed to have his donkey carry a load, even though he just spoke. And if his donkey is threshing or his animal is threshing and it wants to eat from the kernels it's threshing, and he yells at it, and so the animal picks up its head and does not eat, sees in transgression of... You wanted a Hebrew pronunciation, right? So, even though he's speaking, so there the Talmud says, Akima sifasayim. Yeah, moving the lips, that's called an action. And yet here and in other situations, we say that in court, testimony, speech is considered inaction. Speech is not a form of action. Lo asu maase. So that's a big discussion in Tosfos, not here, elsewhere. Tosfos discusses when do we consider speech an action, when do we say that speech is not an action. So Rav Yochanan says, if they did b'mezid, but what they did is called by legal terms a non-action, so certainly they shouldn't get a punishment that's more severe than someone who did an action, what's legally defined as an action b'mezid. Says the Gemara, Vehi notenet. On the contrary, that is supportive of the opposite conclusion. Vehi notenet. That's a term to be written down. Vehi notenet. That is supportive of the opposite conclusion. The same logic you tried to prove one direction really supports the opposite direction. So, the Gemara is going to turn around this whole concept of exile. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan was approaching exile as a severity, as a punishment. The Gemara says it's not a punishment. Exile is a form of compensation. It's a form of gaining atonement. It's a privilege. So, now that turns the fortiori upside down. Hu sha'asa ma'aseh b'mezid. If a murderer did an action willfully, so he did an action. So then, lo ligle, he doesn't go out to galut, ki heichi delo tehevei le kapara. so that he doesn't get atonement. You're right. He did a more severe action. That's why he is not awarded this privilege of going into exile. We do not allow him to attain a kapara. Hen shelo asu maaseh b'mezid, they who did things willingly, but what they did is constituted as a lo maaseh, as a missing of action. They're not actually doing an action, even though they did it on purpose. So then, nami liglu, they should go into exile. Ki hechi delehe v'lehu kapara, so that they should gain atonement. What was the 40 ori? You said if a person actually does an action, he doesn't have to go to galus. Certainly, they who didn't do an action shouldn't be punished with galus. The Gemara says galus isn't a punishment. Galus is a privilege. When you do something b'mezid, you don't get that privilege. That's more severe. When you didn't do an action, so then maybe they should get that. Ela, whenever the Gemara says Ela, that's an indication that the Gemara is reneging on something. We no longer accept Rav Yochanan's interpretation, but rather Machvarta, the clean. Machvarta really means the white. It means what's the clean answer. The answer that is the best is Kidir Reish Lakish. What's clean is Reish Lakish, his answer, that we derive it from a verse. Yes. Okay.
The Hinotene was the response to Rabbi Yochanan.
Correct.
Saying it's not like that.
It's a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan. Are we ready to move on? Okay. We really broke down our Mishnah into two aspects. There's the aspect that they don't get the punishment they meant to administer, they don't go into galut. Then there's another aspect that they get a different punishment. So the question of why don't they get what they were trying to administer, that we just answered. That's derived from a verse. The next question is, okay, so how'd you decide to give them lashes? Where'd that come from? Two questions. Now, in that question of how to decide to give them lashes, we have to incorporate another aspect. And that is, it's not enough that we will prove that you can give them lashes. We have to prove that giving them lashes is a fulfillment of what the Torah says, Vasitem lo kashel zamam, do unto him what he plotted to do to his brethren. Now, this isn't what he plotted. So how does that work? So we will have to prove that you can give lashes, and we will have to prove that it is a fulfillment of Asitam lo kashel zamam. Amarula remez leidim zomimin min haTorah minayin. Where do we find an allusion to the concept of edim zomim in the Torah? The Gemara says, what you talking about? Remez leidim zomimin. You need an allusion. Vaktiv, the verse says it explicitly. Vasitim lo kashel zamam. The verse says, do unto him what he plotted to do. Elano, what Reish Lakish was asking is, rem is leidim zomimin shelokin min haTorah minayin. Where do we have an allusion to this idea that edim zomimin get lashes? Dichtiv. Now, whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's wise to look up the pasuk. So let's get Chumashim, and then maybe we'll understand what's going on here. So our psukim are in Parshat Ki Teitze, what they call the 25th chapter, the first pasuk. So we will read the psukim, and we'll see that at first glance the psukim don't seem to work. What do the psukim say? Ki yeriv ben anashim. When there will be a quarrel, a court case between two people, v'nigashu l'mishpat u'shfatum, they will go to court and they will judge them. And they will find the righteous one righteous and the wicked one wicked. And if the wicked one deserves lashes, then the judge should bend him over and beat him before him, in accordance with his wickedness, in number. He should give him 40 lashes, not more than that. Then Yosef Dakotan Eile Makaraba, lest he give him more lashes than this, a great beating. And your brother will be shamed before you. If you beat him up too much. Don't muzzle your ox as he's threshing. What's going on here? Okay, so these psukim will be the root of our tractate. Our masechet will revolve around these psukim, because these psukim are the source of the concept of lashes in the Torah. So now, our Gemara is not defining the psukim. Our Gemara asked for a remez, an allusion, meaning what we're about to read is not the source for the halacha we saw in the Mishnah, but rather an allusion. I would leave my chumash open, and now let's see the Gemara. Our question was, where do we have an allusion to this idea that Edim Zomimin get lashes from the Torah? So it seems this was a halacha they had on tradition, but like many halachot that they had on tradition, the Gemara says, I could find an allusion in the Torah for this halacha. So the Gemara says, Dichtiv, because the verse says, Vitzdiku et tzadik, they will find the righteous righteous, Vilshiu tarasha, and they will find the wicked wicked. Vayayim binakot tarasha, and then if the wicked deserves lashes, so hit him. So the Gemara asks, Mishum vitzdiku et tzadik vilshiu tarasha, just because you found the righteous right and the wicked wicked, Vayayim binakot tarasha, then we see if the wicked deserves lashes. Is that the meaning? Two people have a disagreement, and you decide if he deserves lashes? Ella, but rather we're talking about a totally different scenario. We're talking about the following. Edim sheyoshiu et tzadik. Two witnesses walk into court, and they testify about someone who is completely righteous, and they make him look wicked. They walk into court, and they say, he owes so-and-so money, and he's not paying. Boom. They enter court and they say he murdered, he desecrated Shabbos. They testify about someone who hitherto was known as a righteous person.
So the Habamina was not valid because it was too pashut? Is that why we dismissed it?
I don't know. I don't know what was wrong with the Habamina. The Gemara took it for granted that it can't be that any time you find someone righteous and another one wrong, you give out lashes. But what was the proof? Why was that so obvious? I don't know. So, what are we talking about? A first set of witnesses comes in, and they make this guy look wicked. And then a second set of witnesses come in, and they say, and they restore the righteousness of the one who we thought was righteous all along. We knew him as a tzaddik until the first set of witnesses come in, and now they reinstated him as a tzaddik. And then they basically informed us that this first set of witnesses, they are wicked. The Shavinu Lehani, they made these Reshaim into wicked people in our eyes. Now we know they were lying. V'hayayim binakot harasha. And then you will see if they deserve lashes. What does that mean? If in this instance, the case of Edim Zomimim deserves lashes, what's a case that deserves lashes? In a scenario where you cannot give them the punishment they tried to inflict. The two cases of our Mishnah. So that's where he wants to derive this idea, an allusion to this concept, that in such a scenario we would give them lashes. Because it says if you have a case where they make the righteous one again righteous, and then they show you that the witnesses were really wicked, so then you give lashes. So we want to say that's an allusion in the pasuk to giving Edim Zomimim lashes when I cannot give them the punishment they tried to administer.
So that's what's going on there? That's what's going on in the case brought in the Torah, that it's the righteous is being made righteous?
That's
again?
A remez.
No.
I'm saying that's what remez is in the pasuk.
The remez is to this situation.
Correct.
The righteous is being made righteous again. Okay.
Remember, we have four levels of interpretation. Shat, remez, drush, sod. So the remez is to this.
Are the two cases mentioned are Mishnah the only exceptions?
I don't remember. As we learn the Masechet, we'll look. Ask the Gemara, v'teipukle, why don't you derive this idea? Milotane, the Torah says, do not give false testimony. So, why don't you derive giving lashes from that verse? Mishum dehavi lav shein bo maise. The reason is because lo ta'ane is a lav that does not involve any action. And we have a rule, v'chol lav shein bo maise in lokin alav. Whenever you have a prohibition that does not involve action, so then you don't get lashes for that kind of prohibition. Now, we have to be bothered. The Gemara until now was discussing a remez. Now the Gemara asks, v'teipukle, derive. What derivation? We didn't speak about a derivation. We asked for a remez. So that's food for thought. If you want to break your heads over it a little bit, look at the Rashis on this Gemara. And next time we should begin with that. Remind me to go back to that point. Let's review what we saw today. We asked what's the source that Edom Zomim don't go to Galus. We said the Pasuk says, Hu Yanus, that was Rish Lakish. Then his Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, said a fortiori. When a person kills on purpose, he doesn't go to Galus. Certainly they who did on purpose, but they didn't do an action, they just spoke, shouldn't go to Galus. We said, no, Galus isn't a punishment. Galus is a merit to attain atonement. So that Kal V'Chomer doesn't work. We accept Reish Lakish's derivation from the Pasuk. We asked, where would we have an illusion that Edom Zomimin could get lashes? And we answered from the Pasuk, Vayayim Binakot HaRasha. We asked, why not derive it from Lota Anem? We answered, that's a lav she'ein bo maise. And here you've encountered a concept that will show up again and again throughout the tractate, that lav she'ein bo maise. When you have a prohibition that does not involve action, you do not get lashes from it. And again, you see that the Gemara assumes that giving testimony is considered a lav she'ein bo maise. It does not, it doesn't involve action. Giving testimony is considered inaction.